Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now Blog Talk Radio Show, brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Tammy Shopstall. I'm calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida, and I'll be your host tonight. I'm also a survivor of child abuse. Tonight's show is an open mic show, question and answer discussion. If you'd like to participate in the show, I'd really love to have you on here, and I could use the support. The number is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. It's a very easy show to participate in. It's very friendly. We talk about informative issues related to child abuse, recovery, prevention, and support for survivors. Before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about NASCA. The National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse is a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and we're self-supporting through our own contribution. If you'd like to donate to NASCA, that would be wonderful, and it is tax deductible. Here at NASCA, we have a single purpose to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent and physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. We do so from two perspectives. First, we educate the public, especially getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, and we present the facts to show child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone. We also offer hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone who is interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Again, if you're listening, please call in. The number is 646-595-2118. And I see I've got one person who has called in, Mr. Bill Murray, and I'm going to open his mic. Good evening, Mr.
Hey,
Bill Murray. How are you?
I'm good. Me too, and I can't get my name to stick in the, you know, the little field there, so maybe you have to add it for me. I must have tried 12, 15 times just now to put Bill in there, and it won't stay.
All right, I got you covered, Bill.
Yes,
got
you did.
In there
Thank
now.
You. Well, yeah, it's been a pretty good day. It's a little hot right now. I guess I'm sitting in the sun. That would help.
Oh, you don't want to talk to me about hot. I'm in South Florida. Are you kidding? It's been a brutal, brutal summer. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, really?
You just walk outside and melt.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but anyway, it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, here it's been bad. It's been really bad, especially, you know, this time of year. It's, you know, we're in hurricane season now, and you know, even if we don't have a hurricane, we have a lot of unorganized tropical storms come through. So, you know, most of the time, you know, it's raining with sunshine, and it just steams. So.
Right.
Well, we have a special guest tonight signed up, Nissy Hamilton. She's not here, Bill. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to speak to her.
Well, no, because it's Carol's thing to call the guest ahead of time at this point. But I'll call her right now if you want.
Well,
I'll
either that or
me
and you can have a discussion. If you want to call her, I'll just talk a little bit about NASCA. Hopefully some other folks will call in.
Okay.
Here at the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, we're fighting for kids and we're serving adult survivors. If you go to our website, which is NASCA, there's a whole wealth of information there. We have a contact list of the people who participate in NASCA. We have primary volunteers. We have an ambassador program. And we have tons and tons of tools to help anyone who might need some help in their recovery journey. And it is a journey for us all. Anyone who has endured child abuse, which I have, knows that it's not easy to heal, but it is absolutely possible. The first step is getting involved and understanding what happened to you. So if you're listening to this show, you're already ahead of the curve, because a lot of people, they really don't deal with what happened to them in their past. And we know that a lot of times, you know, some of the things we go through and some of the behaviors and our bad relationships that we choose all stems from what happened to us as children. It's always 100% the adult's responsibility. It is never the child's fault, ever. The child, you know, looks upon adults for guidance, and they look to adults to help them stay safe. And a lot of times that is compromised. So NASCA, one of our purposes is to help in their healing journey, to let people know, hey, I know what you're going through. I can relate because I've gone through it too. There may be different things that we go through, but there is a common thread of surviving childhood abuse. No matter what kind it is, it affects our self-esteem. It affects our outcome. It affects our choices. And we can learn to make good choices. One of the things we have to remember is we have to forgive ourselves. You know, if we were beaten and battered, sexually abused as children, and then we, you know, aren't taught to make good decisions and, you know, be responsible, then, you know, it's a lot of times as adolescents, teenagers, young adults, we make bad choices. But that's okay, because we can overcome that, and we can heal and learn to love ourselves, learn to have better relationships. You know, we talk about this sometimes on the show. People who endure child abuse, they'll get in a relationship with a person who grew up in a healthy environment, and it seems awkward to us. A lot of times people say, well, why do women or men stay in abusive in relationships as adults? A lot of times it's because it's familiar. It's what we know. You know, if someone treats us good, it's foreign to us, because a lot of times in our lives that didn't occur. So, but we can learn to love ourselves. We can learn to forgive ourselves. We can learn to build our self-esteem. So that's anyone who may be listening, please understand, you know, a lot of us go through that. Very few people survive child abuse and become an adult and instantly become responsible adults who make great decisions, you know, good decisions. A lot of times we make bad decisions. We have to learn and reprogram ourselves. So that's my soapbox for now. If anyone's listening, please call in 646-118. That's 646.
Okay,
Go ahead.
646-515-2118.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just reporting that I left her a message. She didn't answer. Now, I could also text her. Maybe that would be good. But all I did so far
I tell you what, in the meantime, we can put something in our news and ask people to please join us.
In our news?
Yeah, I think I'm giving it to somebody else. Somebody sent me a message that I don't recognize, and I thought it was NASCA News. All right, well, what do you think about how you said you had a pretty good day, Bill? Tell me about your day.
Well, yeah, I did. I had a good day, and I mostly worked, and yesterday too. I've been still catching up with being behind with all the guests and so forth for the future. And but I've got, I think I've done about as much as I can do. And then now we have some openings that we have to fill. So, you know, that's the next challenge. But, you know, right now I'm back to, you know, doing all the work and like I was doing. So, you know, it's a challenge. That's the challenge. And hopefully we can go back to having many, you know, several people help me, help us, you know, over time do this job. Let me see if I can text her. All right, I'm going to text her in a moment. I'll be right back.
Okay, cool. Well, for anyone listening, we do have several social media sites. We do have the NASCA public site, and this is where, you know, only members can participate. You have to join to participate in this, but it's a little more open to the public. We also have a closed group as well that is a little more discreet. You know, some folks, you know, they don't want to put everything out there. And, you know, they may still have a lot of the drama and trauma in their lives, but they still need help, too. So the NASCA closed Facebook group is really, really helpful there. And then the public one, we do ask folks, you know, not to put pictures of abused children out there, not to put political things. We are a 501c3, and we don't support any religion. But a lot of our members are of faith, and that's okay. We also have many, many members that, you know, are agnostic, and that's okay as well. We you know, our common thread is the survivor thread and the desire to bring awareness to child abuse. So check those sites out. They can be helpful. And I'm just going to go through, I'm going to go back to our bills doing that. I am going to go back to the NASCA.org website. We do have a current letter, a newsletter that we do send out. We have all about recovery. There's a tab that you bring down, recovery as an adult, self-help groups, professional groups, find a professional for mental health. We have a list of books. We have a lot of our members who do write books, and we want to help them promote their books. So there is a link for that. We have comments and letters, and there's a link there for the NASCA Facebook as well. We have Protecting Our Kids, Prevention and Intervention, Federal Resources, Nonprofits, The Missing, Offenders, Media Outreach, and we've got a tab there about our leader, the founder, Mr. Bill Murray, and a lot about our forum. So there you go.
Well, now each one of those has multiple links in it, because when you click on one of those things in the pull down menu, takes you to a page, but the page might be full of links. You know, so there's a lot of information here, and I just recommend that people poke around everywhere, and you'll always come back to the front page. The home page is going to stay open while you do all this other stuff, and so when you close everything else, you'll still be at the home page.
Right.
But it's amazing how much stuff is on there, you know, people are really pleased when they find it that there's that kind of information and that much available to them. Of course, it's all free, so they're pretty surprised about that. Now, this show is another example of one of the projects we do. Then there's a three-day-a-week recovery kind of meeting. There's somebody from the 304 area, but that's not our guest. 304 might be Georgia. Might be Georgia.
Well, I did put something on in our NASCA News messenger.
Hi there.
So let's see
we
who
see you
called in to support us.
The 304 area. Yeah.
Area code 304. Is it Jessica?
Green-Brown? Jessica Green-Brown?
Hey, Jessica Green-Brown.
C-E-S-S-I-C-A.
Thank you for calling in, Jessica. I saw that you did read my post, and I really appreciate you calling in and supporting us. Our guest hasn't showed it this time. We're not sure if she's going to show, but that's okay because we have three of us here and we can come up with some topics and we can talk about it. We do know, even though we have just a few people, we have three people on the panel here, we know from our stats that a lot of people do listen. They do stream in, and we're here for you. If someone is listening and they have been debating whether or not they want to call in, tonight would be a really good night. But we're going to be here for the folks who are streaming in. So thank you all for being here, whether you're streaming in or have called in on the panel. So many thanks. So Miss Jessica, how are you, my love? I don't think I know who you are, and I don't think I've been on a show with you, and I know you're one of our new ambassadors. So I'm really excited to have you as part of the NASCA family. What area do you live in, if you don't mind me asking?
Huntington, West Virginia.
West Virginia. Okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, yeah, absolutely. West Virginia. I have been through Virginia. I don't think I've – I may have been, you know, I think I've flown over West Virginia, but I haven't really been in there. Okay, well, we got three of us, so we got a show where we can come up with topics. Is there anything that is on anybody's heart that they would like to talk about? We can discuss whatever you guys want to discuss. If not, I can come up with something. All right. Well, I'm gonna start out. Go ahead, Bill.
And I can't remember it. I'm sorry. When you were talking, something came across my mind, and it went away. It'll come back.
Okay.
So why don't you get?
Okay. Well. Okay. Well, if it comes back up, we'll go to that as well. One of my favorite topics is, you know, it's because I've struggled with this myself, and I know a lot of survivors struggle with this, is how do we learn to love ourselves? You know, a lot of times when we go through abuse, you know, especially if you have endured physical abuse and emotional abuse and, you know, people putting you down and, you know, telling you bad things about yourself, you know, from an early age, from the time I can remember till I was, you know, in my teens, you know, that's how I lived. And, you know, I didn't think I was a good person. I thought, you know, this, you know, I was told, you know, this world will be better off had you never been born. You know, how do you come up with self-esteem? How do you come up and love yourself when that happens? A lot of folks who have been sexually abused, you know, unfortunately, you know, we take on that shame and blame, and we should not. So we learn to not love ourselves. So how do we help our survivor community learn to love themselves again? It's not easy. It sounds easy, but it's not. But that's one of the main common threads that I've seen with folks, and I know that I've endured that as well. One of the things that I would recommend is, you know, just because, you know, a lot of times they you're beat over the head with a stick and they're gone, your abusers are gone, and you pick up the stick and start hitting yourself. So, you know, I'll get it started. One, you know, a couple of things that I would recommend for folks is to stop beating yourself up. You know, look in the mirror and learn to smile at yourself. You know, I had a couple of people tell me, you know, in the last 6 months, you know, just mean people, you know, you need to look in the mirror. And I told him, I said, I have looked in the mirror. I looked in the mirror this morning and it smiled back at me and I'm just fine with that. And it took them by surprise because they thought that they were going to be and bully me. And I'm at a point in my life where I don't let that happen. Years ago, I probably would have looked in the mirror. If somebody told me that, I probably would have looked in the mirror, cowed my head down and said, you know, I'm a terrible person. I hate myself. You know, everybody's right. But I won't do that to myself now, no matter what, even if I make mistakes. So what are y'all's thoughts?
Well, I think early on in recovery, it's kind of hard to figure these things out. But as you go through a little while, like I don't think this is an early decision or, you know, a practice. You have to wait a little while. And when you do, you're capable of looking at the positive side of yourself too, because that's what you really have to do in order to love yourself. It's easy for us to look at all our character defects and faults. It's easy. We can find them all over the place. And what we need to do is kind of, when I say take inventory, that's what I think it is, you got to look at the good and the bad. And if you look at the good and the bad, you know, you will see that there's a fair amount of good. It's not 100% good and it's not 100% bad. You're a combination of stuff. And, you know, you're capable of looking at the good stuff, just like you were capable of looking at the bad stuff almost uniquely and weren't paying any mind at all to the bad stuff, to the good stuff. The same is true of the opposite. You can pay attention to just the good stuff and try and not pay so much attention or give it the weight for the faults you have. And, you know, part of this is becoming human, or is recognizing our own humanity, that we are a mixture of things, and so is everybody else. You're also giving everybody a break. when you find you're human, you kind of have to find that other people are probably human too. And that really is really helpful to the rest of us. So those are my thoughts.
Jessica, what do you think about that?
Well, I can say what I use, but everybody's a little different in the way they heal. Everybody heals in their own way, at their own pace, in their own time.
Sure.
But as far as what I did was I used poetry to express the feelings that I had that were really troublesome with my situation. And I actually put it in a different, tried to look at it from a bigger picture standpoint and put the responsibility where it belonged before I could let it go.
Okay. Well, that's some
good advice.
That way
I stopped blaming myself and punishing myself.
Right. Absolutely.
Because
and that's,
I did
you
the
know,
same thing.
Exactly. Now, before I make this comment, because I do have a comment I'd like to make, we do have someone who's joined us from a 5014 number, and I see that Bill has typed in John. So I'm going to open this mic. Good evening, John, from area code 504. Thank you for joining the NASCAR show.
Hi, thank you. This is John. How are you? John Anderson.
I'm doing very well.
John Anderson.
Hey, John Anderson. You know, I think
Hello,
I spoke with you on the phone. Doing fine. I think I spoke with you on the phone once. This is Tammy. And I'm thrilled to have you on the show with us.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yes.
Absolutely. And if you're still interested in...
I'm a little late today. Well, I've been running around trying to find gasoline, you know, but I don't want to take any time up on the show tonight. I just want to say at the moment that right now, I haven't listened to too much, but I have been reading up on her biography, you know, we have so much that we have to talk about. We have a lot of time, so I'm going to join the show from here on, and I'd be glad to, answer any questions later, but I do have a lot of news that I can share with y'all later on at some point that might even come in handy with what we're talking about.
Okay, well, we'll do that. Yep. Well, the topic that I started us off at, and we won't, you know, we don't have to spend the whole time on it, but I just want to spend a little time to get us going, is how do we love ourselves? How do we help our survivors to love ourselves? And, you know, because that's
right.
Huge. And like Bill's comment was, you know, a lot of times that's not at the very beginning because we're dealing with other things. A lot of times, you know, we have to understand what happened to us. We've got to, you know, a lot of times we seek validation, you know, because we've been put down and told, you know, to hide it, shut up about it. And, you know, and we don't know who else has been through this, so we have the validation process.
Yeah.
But at some point, I think it's healthy for us to migrate into to learning to love ourselves again. And Jessica Brown is here, and she has said that she, you know, one of the things she uses to help herself is poetry. So,
yes.
If you want to comment on that, you're welcome to. If not, I've got a comment to make, but
yes,
I'll give you the floor first.
Absolutely. I would love to. That is such a huge part of, I guess, on the mend of healing, you know, on through the recovery stage. And depending on the situation and how old you are, that's the biggest difference for what I find, because, you know, the average age of someone coming out nationwide is like 52 years old, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the average age. I know people that are in their 80s, and I know people that are in their teens, you know, and I even know now some that are, I hate to say it, that are 5 and 6 and 7 now, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I'm so heavy into the advocacy here locally in New Orleans is that I have to keep up with it every single time so I can keep an eye on the pedophiles. You understand? You know?
Right.
I mean, I need to know where these people are. You know, if they're not in jail, then they need to be, or when are they going to jail, you know? So, but
mm-hmm.
I've reached that point, you know, on the way that you know, I find that it took a lot of finding the right people for me to understand what happened to me and allowed me to come out where I could finally be around people I could trust. I knew that I could trust
mm-hmm.
these people. I did mine publicly. Okay, I did it on camera. The first time that I broke out publicly, I had a massive breakdown on camera, believe it or not. Yes, this was years ago. And I went to go do an interview, and I just lost it, you know, because I found out that unfortunately the guy was still on the street, and he was still raping people, you know, and I wasn't going to have
right.
it anymore, you know. So, you know, along the process of healing, you know, and finding love in myself, I think it was – finally for me, you know, understanding, you know, first of all, of the concept of what actually happened to me as a child, you know, what happened to that childhood that I should have had versus the childhood that I didn't have. You know, then it went on, you know, to what you know, kind of adult life should I've had, you know, and I finally realized that after all these years, you know, I'm finally where I probably should have been the whole time. You know, I should have been right where I am, vice president of SCSA, you know, defending for children every single day. And I should have done this a long time ago, and I guarantee that New Orleans would be in the same place they are right now. There's no way. So, you know, I think playing music also for me. And I have to, you know, if you ever look on my websites and stuff, you know, I play music all the time. And I do different things for people. In other words, on Facebook, I'll give you another example of finding that love within myself, and this is what I do. If you notice on my Facebook page, I mean, probably 95, 98% of the time, every post that I either play myself or I post on there has something to do with support. Okay, with people, you know, good things about dogs, art, boating. I take people on boat rides through my phone, you know, so they get to see the Bayou Country live on Facebook. You know, last week, you know, and I'll let somebody else go from here. I could talk all night about this because last week I walked into a public park. Okay. There was a guy that I've known for years, okay, and he's been around. He's in good shape, but he's homeless. I'd seen him while I walked my German Shepherd in there, you know, and we had talked a couple of times, and then he said, man, I'm just playing my music and this and that. This was like 2 months ago. Well, I finally saw him again, and you know what I did? I grabbed one of my old acoustic guitars, and I brought it to him. I gave it to him. You know, and I gave him a full set of strings, you know, a tool to take it off with. And I said, you do it yourself, you know. And then I said, I'll see you later. So those are the things that way I find love within myself, where I've grown, you know, as a survivor, you know, doing good things for people every day, making sure I try to stay as positive as I can, you know, even in the negative situations. Those are the tough times. Because you're going to get challenged
right.
every day, you know, and you have to realize that life is a roller coaster, okay? And it all depends on how you handle that, especially in the beginning, you know, through the times when you are first coming out and coming forward. That can be a very difficult time, you know, but you have to realize is that, and this is what I have to say to so many people, is that you are not alone, okay, number one, and that we are waiting for everyone to come and speak their voice and get it out and come forward. We need everybody to come forward. you know, I wish I could comment more on this situation and tell you how important it is that we need people to come forward, because I have such a major situation that's going on down here in New Orleans tomorrow, is that I got to be at the state court at 9 a.m., okay? So I will be there, and I guarantee that if you knew what this was about and y'all would love to hear what it's about, then you'd understand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it does have to do, and I'll be quick, it does have to be with the statute of limitations. Somebody's trying to fight us. We already had the bill passed, okay? We abolished it totally. But they have one group of somebody that's going to try to stop us. So we're all getting together. And we all get, I mean, you know, people I know from all kind of agencies. My agency's going to be there full and strong. The president, me, I'm the vice president of SCA, Richard Wimman. You know, there's going to be probably a good 10 of us on just for hours alone. And I don't know who, I mean, there's going to be so many people. That's going to be incredible, you know. So
wow.
I'll leave it at that. But you have to realize is that I've reached this point in my life now. You know, when I first mm-hmm. came out, there was no way that I could ever talk to somebody about this. You know, I would break down in tears. I was miserable, depressed, mm-hmm. you know, until I opened up my heart, you know, and accepted the fact that I was abused as a child. You know, my life was different as than all kids except others that like me, you know. And I just have to accept the fact that I kind of, you know, forgave a lot of hatred that I had inside of myself with a lot of people over the years. I think I've grown out of that. And I think
right.
that's a big part of it, too. People have hatred
okay.
for people, our family
right.
members, everything. So
okay.
if you can get over some of those big, big, huge, you know, humps along the way, then that's how you grow. But anyway, I know
okay.
it's tonight, and she needs to go. So I'll just leave it at that. And thank you very much for having me.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much. I wanted to open up for what we've already discussed with Bill, Jessica, and John, who just spoke, and I'm Tammy. If Jessica or Bill, do y'all have any comments that y'all like to make on what has been spoken about so far?
Well, I had never heard a story about somebody giving away a guitar before, but it happened to me. And I was the one to whom the guitar was given. And it was very special, let me tell you. I was not a musician, but I had a lot of musical interests. And my parents just didn't understand it, so I never was given an instrument or anything. I went to college, and in my first year of college, there was a boys' dorm across the street from a girls' dorm. We used to go over to the girls' dorm in the common room, and we'd sit around and play guitar and sing and stuff. It was the common place for us to do it. One night there were two guys playing guitar, and there was a third guitar there just laying there. So I picked it up, and I looked at their fingers, and every time their fingers came around to this certain place, it happened to be an E, I went, jigga, 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 jigga. And to make a long story short, a little while later, people started lending me a guitar. And about 2 weeks into it, somebody walked by my door and he said, "I thought you didn't know how to play guitar." I said, "No, I don't." He said, "Well, you're playing guitar." And I had already taught myself a whole bunch of chords and so forth. He said, "Wait a minute, I'll be right back." He walked down to his room, he grabbed a guitar and he brought it back and he said, I don't use this guitar very much anymore and I want you to have your own guitar. So that was the first time. That's the only time I'd ever heard of that story. And, of course, it happened to me until just now, John. And it's one of those things, you know, if you wait around long enough, you'll hear it come around. You'll hear your own story come around. And I appreciate you telling that story to me.
Well, that's amazing.
You're welcome.
I think it's pretty cool for John to give away a guitar to the homeless guy. Probably meant the world to him. Just like Bill's
yep.
given a testimony, how it meant the world to him as well. So that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of times we do use music and poetry. Jessica mentioned poetry to help us heal and help us cope and get us in a better place. So those are some really
yep.
good ideas.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I was looking at when we first started, I wanted to make a comment on, and, you know, every class I've ever had, you know, I was forced to talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it is, you can almost apply Maslow's hierarchy of needs to everything. And I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with them, but it's like a triangle. And the basic needs are psychological needs, food, water, warmth, and rest. The second one is safety needs, security and safety. And then psychological needs is belongingness and love needs. And the other psychological needs is esteem needs. And then the self-fulfillment is at the very top. And what Maslow taught us is you have to do one at a time. You know, you're not going to be worried about your safety and security if you don't have food, water, and you can't survive. Once your food, water, housing, and all that's taken care of, then we'll focus in on the security needs. You know, nobody's going to be, you know, looking for love if they're, you know, if they can't eat and they don't feel safe. So that makes some, you know, that makes some sense. And then esteem is above belongingness and love. You know, if nobody loves us, including ourselves, how can you build your self-esteem? So, you know, we can apply this to surviving this child abuse as well. You know, children, you know, safety needs, you know, why do people stay in a unsafe environment or whatever? You know, if a lot of times it's unknown, even though you're being beaten and battered and not in a safe situation, you know, you're getting food, you're getting shelter. You know, that need is being taken care of. You know, and once your psychological needs are taken care of, food, water, and you feel safe, then the next thing we can, you know, start looking for is love for ourselves and to love other people. And I, you know, I can relate that very much to, you know, what Bill just said. And I think John alluded to it as well, is, you know, that may not come right away when you're on the beginning of your path. It almost sounds, you know, unrealistic for, you know, okay, well, I just, you know, I've just found myself. I know on my recovery. Okay, love yourself. You know, we got, you know, it's a process. I think it's something that, you know, I like to mention early on, and hopefully it'll be in the back of people's need, you know, minds, you know, but then once we, you know, once we focus on love, and then we can start building our own self-esteem. And that's where I lived for the longest time, was, you know, trying to build my self-esteem. So I just wanted to get that out there. It just came to my mind. I pulled it up on my computer. I got a computer in front of me. But what are y'all's thoughts? Anybody? All mics are open.
It's so funny you mentioned Maslow's hierarchy. I was just talking about that the other day in regard to what you were just talking about. That is so fascinating
cool.
that you would bring that up.
Well, you know, it makes sense to me. You know, it just makes sense. And, you know, like I said, they forced me to learn that in every class I've ever taken. I think at least once Maslow's hierarchy of needs comes up. But it makes sense. Anyway, I just wanted to get that out there.
It definitely does make sense.
Cool beans. Okay, well, does anybody else have anything that they would like to talk about in reference to, you know, where the topic we started is try to learn to love yourself? We can either continue with that topic, or if somebody else has something on their heart, you know, or a comment they want to make over, you know, on what has been talked about so far, you know, the mics are open. So what do you guys
okay.
think?
Yeah, I'd like to say some more things about that.
Is that John?
Because actually, yeah, this is John. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's so much there that's to speak about when it comes to that situation. I mean, it's a tough road to get there, you know. And you know, you mentioned it about the time. You know, there may never be a time. That's what you have to accept. That's one of the things that you have to realize, is that for a lot of people, there may not be a cure for things that we have. You know, we suffer from a lot of diseases that we affected, you know, by what happened to us through trauma. You know, people now are going through so many different types of therapies, and this is what I'm getting to, you know, because, you know, learn in order for you to get there, along the way, you're going to have to find some help, some good help, okay? Because if you are a true survivor, and you probably are going to have issues, okay, all kinds eventually. And I have to say that for even the younger people that might be listening, okay, you know, like we mentioned before, because a lot of people don't come out and admit things until, you know, they're in their early 50s. So, you know, if you look at that stat alone, I'll just tell you that if all of these institutions that have molested and abused children, okay, were to stop today, okay, do you realize that they're still going to face this in probably the next 30 years, okay, because of the time that it's going to take for these abuse victims that have been abused to come out and admit it, for the simple fact that they don't do it when they're too young, because there are so many issues involved. They're scared. They have families. There's so many things that are messed up. If not, then some of them get paid off and ran away, you know, hush, hush money. You know, so this is what kind of world it's been, you know. That's why I'm doing everything in my power to put an end to that. And tomorrow is definitely going to be one of those days, you know, just for this reason, you know, because I tell you, if are you limited on the time that you come out and decide that, you know, you feel like you need to get this monster out of your head and your body, and you're 60 years old? Well, guess what? That's your, you know, your thing. Okay. Hey, it took a long time, but you know what? It's your time, you know? And again, you might have somebody that's 15, you know. What about these younger kids coming up, you know? Well, you know, through all of this is what I'm getting at, through therapy, okay, is that you have to find a good therapist, number one, okay? Somebody that you can really bond with, somebody you can trust. I know, and that is such a hard word. I hate to even use that word in our business, so to speak, because I think everybody's trust has been violated in a lot of ways, you know. So, you know, bonding and finding the right people along the way is the way to go. And of course, medications I always recommend. If, you know, I don't recommend a certain kind, but I'm saying if you are in need, just follow, you know, the doctor's advice. You know, don't abuse it anymore. And that's another thing, you know, going through all this, there's going to be drug abuse. I mean, I don't know many that don't. Okay, that haven't used some form of drug after they've been abused of some sort. Even as young as 8, you know, 7, I've heard stories. Smoking weed when they 6, 7, you know, So it's just the fact that, you know, along the way, you're going to have to make decisions on your own, and you don't have to go to the first person that you go to, okay? You can go to 4 or 5, you know, if it takes that. You know, luckily for me, I knew some people, and I'm so happy with the decisions I've made that way. I've had to change. All my life, now you have to realize I'm a 45-year survivor, okay, 45 years. I've been going to doctors since I've been 12, okay. I was abused when I was 9, so think about it. How many social workers do you think I've been to? How many, psychologists do you think I've been to? Then I started having physical problems too at a young age. Doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor. You know, I don't want to live this way. I didn't choose this route. You know, I am who I am because that's who made me today. You know. I was raped as a young kid, and I paid the price for it, you know. But today, I'm glad to be where I am. You know, I'm proud to be where I am today. Absolutely. So, you know, in order, you know, to get to you to yourself of finding that love in your soul is such a deep place to be. But it takes faith, you know, and you have to really believe in other people around you that are abused, okay, that know where you're coming from. We understand completely, you know, where you're coming
from. Now, John, John, I want to let you know that our planned guest has now called in. Tammy, that's the number, that's the name, and so in the list there.
Okay.
And I know John was anxious to hear this woman. Ms. Hamilton, thank you for showing up. How are you?
Hey, okay. I'm doing well, guys. How are you? I miss you guys so much. Oh, my God. It's a pleasure to be here back on the show, back with my family, to talk to real issues. We'll talk to real people with real issues and get them resolved and go through that healing phase, you guys. So let's heal together. So what's up? I mean, I was listening to, was it John's story?
Yes.
Yeah, how amazing.
Excuse me?
John, are you there? Yeah, how amazing that you survived that. So I'm still listening.
Yeah.
If you want to keep talking there, I'm here. So let's talk about it. So I can get some more insight, and let's go through it with our listening audience and things like that. So, yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, you know, the topic is, you know, is just on yourself and finding love, you know, along this route of being abused of really any kind, you know, and I hate to say that there's one form of abuse over another form, because yes, there are instances that happen and different things happen, but I tell you, psychologically, it can affect the strongest man in the world, you know. He could bench press 400 pounds, but if he was abused, his he's not going to be right, you know. So those are the issues that we have to look after for long term effects on making sure, you know, that we try to get people to come forward as early as we can, you know, so we can give them the help that they need. That's the biggest thing about this, and that the longer that they wait to come out, the longer that they're going to suffer, number one, okay? But you know what it is you should look at it as is that the shorter it's going to be for the beginning of your brand new life, okay? If you come forward, I guarantee that your life will change forever and ever. And you're going to see another side that you never saw before, because now is your time. You know, if you're sitting out there right now and you're deciding on what to do, you know, there's no more decisions to make. You know, it's about picking up that phone. You know, we have several numbers. You know, I can give you the call-in number, or, you know, anybody can at any time. We can give it to you. But anyway, listen, you know, coming through life the way I did, I've you know, had go to six, after I was abused, I went to six different schools, okay? Now, I was a good student. You know, very good student. I didn't get kicked out of any school, okay? Let's get that straight. What happened to me was that I was mentally affected so bad by what happened to me. Everybody knew in my parish, so to speak, who I was, because I challenged the archdiocese back when I was nine. My parents had my abuser arrested. He was acquitted. Okay, just to give you a short story, after he was acquitted, when I was not, do you know he got 26 kids after me? 26, okay? I have to live with that, you know, because I'm the one that took him to court. I'm the one that opened up when I was not. I thought I did the right thing. I know I did the right thing. But, you know, I paid for that, because back then, this was 1978, You don't take on the archdiocese back in the 70s, you know, back then, because that was everybody's life. You know, it's like, what? You know?
What?
Well, yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah,
John,
you know.
I want to say something that you just said. You know, the fact that you did challenge them, even though he was acquitted, that's not on you. You did the right thing. You tried to bring justice. You did what you needed to do to try to prevent him from hurting other children. You didn't just keep silent. And there's a lot of us keep silent. And I'm not trying to shame anyone who did make the choice of staying silent.
We know why people stay silent, very, very much so. You know, we're shameful, or we're told that, you know, they will beat or batter us, or, you know, a lot of times they'll say, we'll kill your kid, you know, we'll kill your family, we'll kill your dog. There's tons of reasons why people stay silent, but you didn't. So you need to give yourself a break. You really do. I mean, you're a hero for even trying to challenge them. You know, I'm a little surprised that you have that on your shoulder, because you did everything possible to stop this guy. And that is that is amazing. That makes you a hero in my eyes, anyway. Am I missing something?
No, absolutely. And I was going to ask. No, you're absolutely right. And I was going to ask John, what state did this happen in?
Mm-hmm. Okay, this happened in River Ridge, Louisiana. We're actually out of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Okay. And my story is extensive. It's all over the news. I got several articles. I have books out there. I've been in Sports Illustrated over this. Extensive interviews. In fact, I'll be in court tomorrow. I'm the main one that went and got the statute of limitations changed here, okay? Let me tell you what happened about that. If y'all want to listen to it, I'll tell you. It is a story and a half. But anyway, let me tell you what happened to me. It was that it was in River Ridge, Louisiana, and I was 9 when it first, you know, when it happened. It was over a 3-week period. My mom had him arrested. He was acquitted, okay? After that, all the people I went to school with basically knew what happened to me, you know? So they wouldn't talk to me anymore, you know, at all. I lost all of my friends back then, you know? So that's why I started going to different schools, because every time somebody knew what happened to me, I couldn't talk. They wouldn't come. Their parents would tell them to stay away from me back then, you know. And I didn't realize what was going on, but it affected me pretty bad, you know. So I was just happy to eventually come out of that, because I'm telling you that, and I was down. I mean, you know, I've tried to commit suicide before. There's no, it's on my record, everything, you know. So I have nothing to hide anymore. You know, I'm glad about that. And I opened up my soul to everything and finally let out this demon that's been chasing me down for 50 years, you know. Even though I came out when I was 9, I still had to move out of the neighborhood where my parents still live. I actually live a mile from this place, okay? I have to block my vision every time I pass the school. It's just horrible what happened. You know, in fact, we go to court tomorrow. And do you know the guy was acquitted? He was finally put in jail, well, arrested and put in 2019. Can you believe it? And then he dies before he serves any time in jail. Yeah, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, John, what? That just brings me to the point. You know what? I just want to let our viewing audience know that 90% of men who are either caught trafficking or sexual assault or anything to do with sexual abuse, typically, you know, 90% of them don't even see the inside of the jail. And that just goes to, you know, I mean, that number is so super high. It is just unfathomable to believe that, you know, we're still okay with just cross re-victimization. And a lot of times parents don't even know. Like, if you have somebody who's, let's say your kid is at a school and there's a soccer coach there, and that soccer coach molested you, you know, when you were younger, and, you know, you never got a chance to say anything, you can go and say something, and you want to say something so that you can prevent him from working with other children or the other kids who are, you know, would be so vulnerable to not be able to say something, or would be so vulnerable to actually do what the predator is telling them to do, to be in that situation with that guy and things like that.
Right.
So I really appreciate that, you know, you went all the way to, you know, legislation, to have legislation changed. So when you say statute of limitations, what was the number of that bill for Louisiana? And bravo to you for getting that change.
It was HB 492.
HC 492. Amazing.
No, No, HB as in boy. Yeah.
Oh, HB 492.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, can you let our viewing audience know just a little bit more about that bill?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me tell you what happened is that after 35 years, there's no change ever, you know, going way back to then with any amendment whatsoever on the statute of limitations on child abuse, okay, you know, of really any form. Of course, there are different levels of it, so to speak, but when it comes down to child rape, you know, there is no limitation. Okay, let's get that straight, okay? However, in a child abuse situation, though, okay, when there's been accusations made with, like, the Archdiocese, Boy Scouts, you name it, any organization, any institution whatsoever, okay, the limitations were presented this time for an extension to be 55 years of age, okay? So, in other words, you could, you know, wait until you were 55 to come forward. Okay, so that was going to be one of the given amendments that they had. Okay, the other one was that they were going to allow a 1-year extension on criminal charges. Okay, in other words, you had 1 year. If there were criminal charges that somebody's still alive, you can still bring it on them right now, and then also be 55. Okay, and so you can wait that long. Okay, and that was the bill. So I'm like, you know, there was a representative out of Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, by the name of Jason Hughes, who's a very good friend of mine. And, you know, and you have to realize is that whenever some representative brings a bill to the House, okay, it's a very complicated situation because there's so much information that needs to go into it beforehand in order to even make a decision on how to bring it there. You know, and this is such a touchy situation of age because you're limiting still. I mean, so that was with me. I don't want any limitations whatsoever. However, I did say, Jason, you know, I really don't like the bill. I think there shouldn't be any. I said, but however, I'm going to have to take what they're going to give us. You know, I mean, if we can get that, then I'm gonna stand right here by it and I'll just take it, you know, just like they've been giving to me for 45 years, you know, and I'll let them know about it too. However, you know, that's not what happened. Okay, here's the good part. You know that me and my associates showed up. Okay, first of all, Richard Women went and testified. Okay, then I went to the House of Representatives on the very next day. Okay, so then I went 3 more days after that, okay? Now I'm by myself. Richard has to go back to Dallas, Texas, okay? Everybody's got something to do. I'm retired now, basically. So I do have time. You know, I'm going to make time now, okay? So this is what I do for a living, you know? So I get in my truck. I get put my suit on. Guess what? John Anderson's driving to Baton Rouge today, and he's going to get right up on in there, you know? And let me tell you what, I did. And I got so far up in there, let me tell you what happens, is that the bill comes out with zero limitations whatsoever. It was totally abolished. So that's where it stands, okay? Not only that, on top of that, there's now an additional 3-year window, okay, for someone to come out on a criminal side instead of the civil side, okay? So that's what you have to realize is that, you know, depending on the situation and who it is, and, you know, that's why, you know, you need attorneys for all of that stuff, you know. But that's what's happened, you know. So just to let y'all know what's going on is that we have got the bill signed, all right? It's on its way. Guess who we have to go to court against this bill now that it's been signed by our governor already? The Jesuits. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., in First Circuit Court, right here in New Orleans, we are filling the house up with survivors, okay? So anybody that's out there and listen to me, we need everybody out there, okay? I don't care where you're from. If you want to support the children of the future, this is your time, and you make yourself known, okay? Because this is what it's all about. You know, if we don't get it done now, then it's never going to get done. It has to get done tomorrow. Tomorrow is an obstacle. That's all it is. And we know we're
right.
going to get this. There's, I mean, there's no question about it. But we're going
right.
to make sure that they know what's going on and how it's going to be from now on. Yeah.
Well, good for you. That's absolutely amazing.
So,
and thank you for your support and your fight. I see you as brave and a hero, and I'm sorry that that happened to you as a child. You were a stand-up guy, even as a child. It was tough, but it
mm-hmm.
made you who you are today, and I respect you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing
you.
That. I want, absolutely.
Yes.
I want to make sure Jessica has an opportunity to participate. Jessica, what do you think about all this here?
I just have a quick question for John.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
As far as you said you need survivors to show up, does it matter what state they're from?
Absolutely not. No.
Okay.
No, if you're a survivor, look, this is for everybody. Just because, you know, we're in Louisiana, this is start of a revolution right here. You know, I mean, they've already got the statute of limitations changed. Okay. No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it's just the bill signed. We just happen to have one more group in front of us because the Archdiocese here is filing for bankruptcy. Okay, they're using the bankruptcy to get away from all their crimes now, and now they're going to run so they don't have to take the stand. That's what it gets down to. That's all it gets down to because they're scared. They know they're all going to go to jail. You know, if they're going to get busted one day. They are still doing it, we will find them. However, you know, with that being said, I mean, shoot. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, definitely keep us posted.
I would have definitely shown up.
It's just, you
Say
know,
that
with,
again.
With,
I think
with, I tried. With, you know, thing about it is that it's 9 in the morning, you know, and I'm going to be there nice and early. I'm going to make sure that I got a front row seat, you know, because I'm a big part of this situation. I have to be a big part of it, you know. If there's anybody that's going to testify, it's going to be me and probably Richard, you know, that's there, and depending on who else shows up. But we are like the main three. There might be somebody else. But anyway. You know, I'm going to need a lot of support tomorrow. If y'all can be thinking about me, and after I finish what I'm saying, I'm going to get off of here for tonight because I got a lot of paperwork I have to get together right now and get my stuff together because I'm going in to kick me some you know what, you know, for everybody. So I will fill y'all in later on what's happened through the NASCA site and let you know what happened.
Okay.
So I'm going in there and I'm going to get it done. But,
okay.
You know, it's just going to take a lot.
Absolutely. Well, John, this is Tammy. I love your Louisiana accent.
Yeah.
I lived in, of course, I'm Southern, but I lived in Shreveport
mm-hmm.
for a year. So I just absolutely love your Louisiana
mm-hmm.
accent. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us tonight. It meant a lot to me. And my prayers are with you tomorrow, and I know everybody on the panel
Thank
feels
you.
The same way. And if you had mentioned last time you and I talked, and it's been a while,
mm-hmm.
you showed mm-hmm. some interest in wanting to host. So if you still have an interest in that,
yeah.
let me
mm-hmm.
know, okay? Okay, and
yeah,
we'll go from there.
I have been. Yeah, I have been hosting
okay.
a little bit. Uh-huh. Yeah, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. I've been helping Penelope here and there and before. With some other people, but yeah, anytime. All I need is somebody just to send me a message early. Sometimes it
okay.
depends on what I'm doing, but so, hey, I might be a little late, but if I am the host, I'll be
okay.
on time.
Okay, cool
beans. Anyway,
well,
I need to get back tomorrow. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, God bless, and,
yeah.
and let us know. Let us
okay,
make sure now. All right. Thanks,
okay,
John.
Okay. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye, bye, John.
Bye.
Okay. Well, that was awesome. Well, so who we have on the show now? It's 9:04, so we've got about 25 minutes left. I'm Tammy Schaffstall. I'm calling in from Florida, the host tonight. We've got Bill calling in from Los Angeles. We have Jessica Brown calling in from West Virginia. And we have our guest professional speaker, Miss Nisi, if I'm saying that correctly, calling in from Texas. So welcome all, and thank you all for joining us. And I'd like to give a big shout-out to people who are streaming in as well. We know we have a large audience who does stream in. Thank you for joining us as well. So I think it's a good time for us to start a new topic. I want to take this opportunity to throw the mic over to Ms. Nisi. Nisi, if I'm saying your name correctly, Ms. Hamilton, Ms. Nisi Hamilton, if there's something that's on your heart or a topic you'd like to bring up in the next 20 minutes, the mic is yours, you know, in participation with the panel. So the mic is yours.
Thank you so much, Tammy. And hello, guys, again. You know, I really appreciate John for telling us his story, and that was an amazing story about how he survived just child abuse. And just, you know, oh, my God, you know, we don't usually think about how it makes men feel to have that honest, candid conversation without interruption. And, you know, if you guys can see how long it took him to actually come, you know, to grips with that. Could you imagine how depressed he was? Could you imagine, you know, what kind of thoughts he might have had, what type of injury this could have done to his psychological and physical, you know, mindset? And it's a lot. And so, and he's a man and he went through that. Could you imagine how other men feel? I mean, even, you know, even in our LGBTQIA community, you know, how they must feel not being heard, going, you know, throughout life without, you know, just questions that are unanswered and things like that. And so it's imperative that we do have these conversations so that we can go through that healing process. But something that John did bring up that really took interest in me is because he's in Louisiana. And he got the bill passed, and so I'm very excited about that bill. But one thing, I want to say bravo to my Cajuns, because you guys started a chain reaction here in Texas, where Louisiana, they were at the cutting edge of putting a stop to human trafficking. And what they did was they made it mandatory that you can no longer work in sexually oriented businesses at 18, 19, and 20. And when I heard about that bill, I mean, it just drew so much, you know, criticism, but it also drew so much national attention and so much, you know, personal attention for myself, because that bill described exactly what happened to me while being a child and being sexually, you know, sex trafficked at the same time, sexually abused at the same time. And so what we were able to do in the state of Texas was we started the Texas Smart Act. Thank you to the, shout out to the Houston 20s, Jennifer Holman, the Woodlands 20s, the Austin 20s, all of the 20s that are out there and who are on listening currently. What we were able to do was we took the same information and we said, hey, let's get our people involved. And they were able to take my story of child sexual trauma and sexual abuse and me being sex trafficked and use the same thing in Louisiana is now mandatory in the state of Texas. And one of the things that we didn't expect to happen that Greg Abbott did was he made the bill effective immediately. So whereas a lot of the bills are not going to be, you know, I don't know, that they're not going to be valuable until September the 1st of 2021. This bill is active as of right now. And so currently as it stands in the state of Texas, because of your great host, Nisi Hamilton, Dr. Nisi Hamilton, and my life story of being trafficked in strip clubs, you can no longer work in the state of Texas in any sexually oriented business at 18, 19, and 20. And so in that bill we got passed was Senate Bill 315, and the other bill was Senate Bill 766, because I don't know if the viewers remember, 2 months ago, listening to me tell my story, I was sex trafficked in strip clubs in the city of Houston at age 15 years old, and I was also working there illegally with an illegal ID as well. So when we passed 766, it was for E-Verify so that we can make sure, excuse me, guys, that people could not go inside of sexually oriented businesses and work with fake IDs. And we had no idea that that was going to start like this chain reaction to a lot of the illegal immigration that goes on in sexual oriented business and, you know, labor trafficking and things like that. You know, people and girls started to come out more and more and tell their stories, and we were able to find more girls that way as well. Soon after, I mean, literally, guys, 2 weeks, I mean, less than 2 weeks after we passed that bill, both of those bills, Senate Bill 315 and Senate Bill 766, that was a strip club or a sexually oriented business here in Houston, Texas, that was caught sex trafficking a young lady at the age of 14 years old, and that club was called V-Live. And V-Live is no longer in business because of that bill. And so I really just want to tell, you know, our listening audience that I'm really grateful that you guys are here and supportive of, you know, this healing process and the healing journey, because that young lady is 14 years old. She's going to become an adult, and she's going to need a resource. She's going to need somebody who has had her story and lean on and depend on and talk to and be able to have that conversation candidly without feeling embarrassed, hurt, or ashamed about things that, you know, happened to her. I mean, just think if we would have waited a day later or a month later, or we actually did wait, you know, until September the 1st to get those bills passed, we could have been in a predicament where, you know, the young lady, she was able to be found now where, you know, that they knew that that bill was being, you know, passed and it was coming through the pipeline, that they could have, you know, taken her out of Houston, Texas and, you know, trafficked her overseas or anywhere else, you know, where people couldn't actually find her and things like that. So here's where those bills come into effect, and they actually do work. Legislation works, and, you know, making our people that we vote for, these people that are candidates and running for office, where it works, to know them. And this isn't a Democrat or Republican issue. This is a civil rights issue. This is a public health issue. This is affecting the health of our community, and we're constantly, of our nation rather, because human trafficking is a $150 billion industry. And girls are being sold constantly on the black market. And so when they don't have that resource to be able to come back and talk to, you know, if they don't have NASCA, you know, if they don't have other support system. And Bill, I love you for creating this support system where we can come and have these candid conversations again. Then, you know, where else would we have to go? And so I'm really just super grateful for John's story. I mean, it just really, really made me think about some of the things that we were able to get passed in legislation in Texas because Louisiana has started a chain reaction of supporting survivors of, you know, child sexual traumas and abuses such as human trafficking and labor trafficking.
Cool. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much. Let's open up to the panel to see what they think. Let's start with Jessica. Jessica, what do you think about all this?
Well, I was recently looking up statistics on foster care, and actually a lot of kids that age out in state custody are sex trafficked.
Absolutely.
Homes and things of that nature. That's where they get a lot of people that are looking for love in all the wrong places, and they traffic them. So, yeah, that's a very serious issue that definitely has to be addressed.
Oh, absolutely. I was in foster care myself, so you're absolutely right. Those statistics go hand in hand with what's going on currently in our world.
Absolutely. Well, you know, society is getting a little more comfortable talking about child trafficking. You know, we used to call it, you know, prostitution, child prostitution. It's not child prostitution. It's child trafficking. People are getting more and more comfortable about talking about that. They still, you know, society has a long way to go about talking about incest and the other elements of sexual child abuse. We've got a long, long way to go, but thank goodness, you know, the door is opening a little bit with child trafficking. What do you think, Bill?
Well, I wanted to say that the topic of creating legislation that John was talking about, he's doing it now in Louisiana, has been around a long time. And it's unfortunate, but we can't coordinate it very well because it depends on each state being separate from the other states. Every state is separate.
Yes.
Because these are issues, local issues in that sense. There's not a federal statute about it. I wish there was, because as you say, I believe it is a civil rights issue, and that could make it federal. The trafficking of kids or the sex abuse of kids. I mean, we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, don't we? That's the First Amendment. I mean, that's the Constitution. And it gets taken away from us when we're abused. So anyway, the point is that, these laws get changed state by state, and there's two sets of them for each state, too, the civil laws and the criminal laws. And so you can't, unfortunately, you can't change one set of laws and have it affect the whole country. This is why we go around state to state to state thinking that we've, made a big change. And we have for the people in that state. But, there's no uniformity about it. So it's frustrating. I was part of the group that changed it for New York, and we did very similar work to what John was relating in Louisiana. In that we extended the statute of limitations from, I think, a five-year period of time originally, which stopped at age 28, I think it was, all the way to age 55. And then it also added a window of opportunity, a brief one. It was originally for a year, and then they extended it for 2 years when COVID came along, for people who were still outside 55 and older to bring the suit. So I'm a part of that, because I'm way older than 55. But, it took a lot of people working on getting the statute changed for me to become eligible, and the same thing in Pennsylvania where I was abused. They're going through that now in Pennsylvania, trying to get the statute abused. And then in Maryland, the third place I got abused, I brought a case against the brother that amused me there, and I found out that my statute of limitations for the libel, the libel was long overdone, but not for the criminal. And they said there isn't a criminal statute. In other words, as long as you can show up and testify, you can bring a criminal case, or the state can, against a perpetrator. Well, my perpetrator is still alive, but he's in San Diego, and they won't bring him from San Diego to Delaware to prosecute. He's in his 80s. But, if he ever stepped foot in Maryland, he would get arrested, and then we could go forward, but they won't bring him. They're afraid that he'll have a heart attack on the plane or whatever. So, but the point is that each one of these states that I'm involved with, three of them, is dealing with a different statute of limitations for civil suits and a different statute of limitations for criminal. And that's just the way it is.
And you're absolutely right, Bill. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head.
Mm-hmm. So this is not a new battle, is what I'm trying to say, but it's an ongoing battle, and it's going to continue for a long time because we are not close to having sort of a uniform understanding of the issue of child abuse. It's right in our mission statement that we want to discuss and overcome the taboo of discussing child abuse, especially sexual child abuse, because until we can all talk about it, we're not going to have enough authority, power, people on our side. And we're talking about, getting normal people to talk about it, people who were not abused, because we need them on our side to make the changes that we need to make eventually. But right now, we're doing the best we can. We're doing better than we were just a few years back, which I remember. And we're now We're now also, you know, well, in the other part of our mission statement is well established, which is that we offer many tools and services and so forth to adult survivors of child abuse. And I don't think we're going to go away. I have a feeling MASC is going to survive, you know?
No, you're absolutely right, Bill. You know, this is Tammy. One of the things I'd like to say is, you know, every little bit helps. You know, what you did, you know, your contribution in the states that you talked about matter. What John is doing matters. What Nisi is doing matters. What Jessica is doing matters. You know, we all have to form a bond, and I agree with you. We need to get our what we call normies involved as well. It's not a fun subject to bring up. It's not fun for us survivors, let alone people who never had to deal with it. And then you get the simple, you poor dear, you know, you get the people who feel sorry for us. I don't need anybody to feel sorry for me. I need somebody to advocate to get things changed. But every little bit helps. It's really easy for us to say, well, we can't change anything. You know, a lot of people who come on, especially when they're we call them on fire, you know, they're on fire, they're gung-ho, they're ready to go, they're ready to go, and they're, I'm going to abolish child abuse. I'm going to wipe it out. We'll never wipe out child abuse. It's been around since the beginning of time, and it will always be around. But that doesn't mean we can't make a mark. That doesn't mean that we can't bring awareness. Doesn't mean that we can't do something to help, to fight, to bring awareness, to make some changes, to make it part of our everyday conversation, to not, you know, sweep it under the rug. You know, a lot of folks, you know, used to when you had, you know, abuse, most of 67% of 90% of it is in the family. And, you know, so you don't shame the family. You don't talk about the family. You know, how dare you talk about the family? Don't bring that shame. And, you know, we're starting to change that a little bit. But anyway, what are y'all's thoughts?
You know what I found interesting about John was his story is a little different than a lot of people's stories because he's told his story since he was 9. I mean, his story has been out. So he didn't spend a long time hiding the story. The story was out. Now, he tried to hide it once it was out. He had to avoid certain people and that kind of thing. But the story was out. So he didn't feel the secrecy that most of us feel. And that's an interesting dynamic. It doesn't happen very often that way. It usually is the child, as he said, you know, you wait until you're in your 40s and 50s to tell your story. Well, not John. John told it starting at age 9, and he's been telling it ever since. So he's got a lot of experience.
And look how
there.
Brave he was. You know, he, you know, I got the sense, I can't speak for John, but I got the sense from what he shared that he had some responsibility for the victims after him, and he didn't. To me, he was a hero. And a lot of people do keep silent because of exactly what he went through. He was ostracized. He had to change school.
Right.
People shied away from
right.
him. He had a scarlet letter on his forehead. And that's what we've got to change in society. We really, really do. You know, there's no shame in what we went through. The shame, the shame belongs to the perpetrators, not us. People get it backwards, and they always have, and they think that needs to stop. We are, you know, we've got, what time is it? Let's see. It is, we've got about 6 minutes left.
Okay.
I want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to talk, and I want to make sure that Nisi has an opportunity to talk as well. Bill, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'd like to give my time to Nisi, and thank you for calling in. I really appreciate you. You know, you're just coming as soon as I reached you. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Jessica, I want to give you an opportunity to participate. I just want to make sure everybody has an opportunity. Jessica, do you have anything you would like to say about what we talked about? And then we'll go to Nisi.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I aged out in state custody myself, and I easily could have been sex trafficked myself, and my reality would be totally different now than it actually is now. You know,
mm-hmm.
I would have a totally different outcome, I would say.
Absolutely. Well, Nisi, what are your thoughts, dear? What do you think? We've got about 5 minutes.
Hey, guys, I'm here. I was stuffing my face there 2 seconds. Jessica, it's so nice to meet you. I just met you on Facebook just now, and so I'm so glad that you did survive foster care. So we share that in common. So you are my survivor sister, and I love that. But, yeah, totally. If you were trafficked, that would have changed everything in your reality. Trust me, it's a horrendous thing. You know, I think, you know, one of the big issues that I talk to people about is people don't think about how it feels to, like, raise, you know, your children after you've been trafficked, or try to have a family, or try to be married, or, you know, or try to raise children that you had with your trafficker. Those are some of the issues that, you know, we deal with after being sex trafficked and things like that, and really just trying to find our place in the world, where we sit, where do we belong, what club can we go to, you know, and really there isn't a club other than NASCA creating this avenue for us to be able to just express ourselves and be creative amongst each other. Yep. I mean, that's pretty much all I have.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. That's a lot. Go ahead, Bill.
Let me assure anybody that's listening that NASCA, you know, is available to all of you. There is no there's no requirements to be of one type of person or another, or of one type of abuse or another. So we are non-denominational. We don't have any. We're non-political. We're apolitical. We come from all over the world now. We've got a worldwide constituency, and all you have to have is a desire to recover. And that's it. To recover. That's it. And if you have that, you're
that's
in.
It.
And it's self-acclaimed. Self-acclaimed. As a member of the family.
Absolutely. Well, Bill knows this, and I don't think Nisi or Jessica know my story. I've told my story a couple of times on NASCA, but it's been a while. You know, I've never been to a therapist. There's nothing wrong with therapists, but the bulk of my healing journey has been NASCA. You know, I've been involved in NASCA 6 years, 7 years. I don't know. I can't keep up now. But anyway, you know, a lot of my healing journey has been on NASCA. We are a group. We've got professionals. We've got, psychologists, psychiatrists. We have a neurosurgeon, a neuroscientist who joins us sometimes. We've got a transvestite, transsexual who comes on every now and again, whom I love. We have people of religion, no religion. And we have normal people. Normal people who just want to participate and help and heal and, you know, just get, you know, just be a part of a NASCA family. And I think that is absolutely wonderful. We're very diverse, I guess is the word I'm looking for, very diverse. Right?
It's about as diverse as you can make it because, you know, we have no requirements at all for membership except the mm-hmm. desire to recover. And that's it. And if you have
desire
that,
to recover and participate in the healing journey of other people and bring awareness to child abuse. I just got the 90-second mark, so we're going to wrap it up. I want to, if anybody has a quick comment, you know, now's the time. If not. Okay. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on. You know, when I first logged on today, I was like, oh, gosh, I'm on here by myself. And Bill popped on, and then Jessica popped on, and John popped on, and Nisi popped on. And I really appreciate the support, and I know people who are listening do as well. Thank you, Nisi, Jessica, Bill, and John, for sharing your story. God bless the children of the world, and God bless adult survivors of child abuse. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Love you guys.
Love you, too.
Dawn was you often got it after all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio. Bye, Bill.